What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. This week, I am sitting down with Amrit Sandhu, and a little bit about Amrit. He is an international speaker. He's a podcast host and founder of The Inspired Evolution. He is certified by Eckhart Tolle School of Awakening, and he is also Mind Valley's Master Certified Trainer for Australia and India. Amrit, he delivers keynotes, seminars, and workshops for Inspired Evolution in Mind Valley all over the world. And on this episode, a few things that we dive into is how to really use your values as a compass in your life. We dive into a resource that you can use to, in just 20 minutes, actually figure out what your top three values are in your life, a really powerful tool that you'll have access to. And then we also talk about how to figure out if coaching is actually something that you want to be part of your life. So there's so many different things we dive into this episode, but those are a few of the things that you can expect. I promise you it is going to be lots of value for your life. So we'll dive into this conversation in just a moment. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can join us in the show every single week. And without that, here we go. Amrit Sandhu, welcome to the show, my man. Thank you so much for being here.
It is such a pleasure to be here, bro. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, my man. So as we kind of kick into this thing, I would love it if you could start off by just giving our listener a little bit of an idea as far as who is Amrit, what do you do, and kind of give us a little bit of inside scoop into your world.
Oh, wow. Okay. There is so much to describe there, but fundamentally, the way you're probably looking to ask the question, knowing how deep your work goes to. So Amrit fundamentally is all about connection, contribution, and celebration. And those are my three highest values. Yeah. So everything I do is designed around connection. It's designed around contribution, and it's designed around celebration. Now, those three words mean a lot to me. But fundamentally, the key things that has me doing in the world at the moment is coaching. Coaching helps me connect, contribute, celebrate. Podcasting is a massive avenue for connection, contribution, and celebration. Yeah. And so is public speaking, man. So connection, contribution, celebration. So I'm just those three things. I just find different vehicles on my way to live more and more into my fullest expression, touch wood. Yeah.
So cool. Beautifully said. So let me ask you this then. So those three words, I mean, you could feel it when you hear it, that it's like that is the core sort of compass, I guess we could say, as far as like what dictates the next step you take forward in your life. And I'm curious, I'm guessing there's some sort of a story behind, you know, you didn't pop into this world and go, these are the three things I'm going to, you know, I'm gonna value before in life. Yeah. So, I mean, one, I think just two really interesting things. One, I'd love to kind of hear you stumble across that. And two, like, I think it's so powerful for anyone listening to this that you have a few things that are your compass, right? Which dictate why you step the way that you do, why you say yes to some things and no, why you might take a risk or not take a risk. And so if you could kind of expand just like the importance of kind of having those three pillars in your life to allow you to have better direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two questions in there. Firstly, how did I come to it? And secondly, the importance. So there was a whole journey in there. because there was a point in my life where I was just running an operating system where I actually didn't know that I could actually install or sub out values, because these are my three highest values here: connection, contribution, celebration. And that's a somewhat separate story, but it's somewhat aligned. So, but for brevity's sake, I struggled with about 6 years worth of depression as an adolescent. And then that evolved from me ending up in a psychologist chair. She helped me install my first value of, like, she helped me shift for the first time. She helped me realize that I can actually install values. So that was huge, because she was like, you just need to change this one orientation of yours and your life will come back together. And I was like, what? I can change my orientation? Yeah. I can change values? I can I thought I was pretty set in stone, you know. But where these three values really started to come home and matter a lot to me was fundamentally when I struggled with career misalignment for quite some time, Stu. It was a long time that I was basically showing up to work, and I don't know if your audience has watched The Matrix, but that's one of my favorite movies, and it literally there's this moment where Morpheus takes Neo back to the Machine City, and he shows Neo and he goes, look, the sky's been blackened. This is reality as it is right now. We're all plugged into the Matrix, which is showing us like this year 2000 or whatever, but really it's like the year, I can't remember, like 3000 or something. The sky's been blackened, everything's scorched, and actually it was humans that scorched the sky because we thought that the machines wouldn't be able to run the Earth without solar power energy. And the machines, in their infinite wisdom, figured out that the best power source are humans. And they just started growing us and harvesting us. And you can start to see, like, they've just got those fields and fields of red pods of humans just growing in these pods with the Matrix plugged into the back of their brain, just running software, right? All of that to sort of say, it felt really dark and harrowing, and I literally felt like just a cog in the machine and just like a cell unit that got plugged into work every day and pulled out. Now, I don't think I was any... Well, there's a couple of things conflating there because firstly, I was working in construction, and construction here in Australia is a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 6 days of the week gig. So when I sometimes share it from stage, I just like to joke that I'm not any more special than anybody else. I just did have my midlife crisis earlier because I put in the same amount of hours that most people put in a 9 to 5, 5 days a week just earlier. So the existential crisis kicked in earlier. But I also think it's really interesting when I start to look at now, when I look back and I do like even just a basic personality test, like the Myers-Briggs, the exact career I should not be in is mechanical and structural engineering. And that's literally the two things I studied, right? And the key thing I should be doing is like coaching, speaking, maybe sales, stuff like that, right? And that's exactly what I've naturally gravitated towards. I look at things like the DISC profile, and you end up with, okay, I'm like, engineers are generally analytical types, and I'm the exact opposite. I'm the inspired type, right? So now I've got clarity on that. But one of the things that happened as I was going along on this journey was really starting to realize, why was I feeling like the cat was being rubbed the wrong way? Why was I feeling like I was having my soul sucked out of me, touch wood, right?
For real.
And fundamentally, at some point I had this exercise where I sat down and ran through my top values. Now, it's an exercise anybody can do. InspiredEvolution.com/values. If you go there in 20 minutes, you'll have your top three values. And
love it.
I just went through the exercise, found my top three values. And I remember at the time, they weren't this crystal clear. They weren't connection, contribution, celebration. There was like health, happiness, you know, and all this sort of stuff that mattered to me.
Yeah.
And for a while there, I didn't even audit my life against my job. Like, right, I didn't even audit my values against my job. I wasn't looking at any of that sort of stuff. I was just noticing them in little things. So my wife and I would run into now she's my wife, then she was my girlfriend, run into an interaction, and she would have a different set of desires from the outcome than I would. Maybe a story's easier. Like, we were checking out of our apartment at one point because we, lease was coming to an end, and we had to book the lift, right, to just goods lift, you know, when you're moving. And we went in, this guy that helped us, that was meant to be like responsible for the booking of the lifts, etc. He was just a toxic person. He was just one of those people that just, you know, was really, you walked in, you could just see he was super gruff, like super gruff and for no reason, just angry, mad. Someone had taken the jam out of his donut perpetually, right? So walked into his office, and at the time we booked our lift, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. And as soon as we booked the lift, I got out, and he talked to us pretty rudely. And I remember my wife at the time, she's like, why didn't you say anything to him? And I remember turning around and going, and I felt really bad because some part of me could go into this spiral around, like, you know, I'm an adolescent young man. I've known my wife for like 15 years, I think, roughly now. Yeah. Like, why, you know, am I not man enough to step up for my woman when she needs me to speak and et cetera, et cetera. And before I spiraled into that, you know, unserving rabbit hole, I was running the values exercise at the time. And one of the things I encouraged people was to put them on their phone in their pocket and just audit themselves when they go through points of conflict or tension in their life just reflect on them. And I remember looking at it. And this interesting thing is, as you get clear on your values, you look across at someone else, you can actually kind of get clearer on them as well, just because you're clear about yourself. And I looked at them and I was like, connection, contribution. And I don't think celebration had quite kind of made the cut as celebration at the time. It was health. And I was looking at it and I was like, connection. Of course, there was no part of me that desired connection in that interaction. I just wanted to run, you know, I just wanted to get out of there because my highest value was being challenged. And I looked across at my wife and I was like, she's integrity, right? Her number one value is integrity. So in her integrity, she was like, someone needs to let this person know that they can't function like that, right? Touch wood. That's not a habitable way of being in society.
Yeah.
And I'm looking across and going, she's absolutely right. Like in her integrity, absolutely, she has a valid point. In my place of connection, absolutely, people don't want to connect to someone like that. There's nothing wrong with me. Yeah. I'm just orientated differently, right? And then you start to extrapolate that out. That started to become, like you said, a compass, a guiding light. When I started to find more flow in the things that brought me connection, you know, having people over, cooking for them, you know, that was connection contribution. If it was someone's birthday, I would light up like a Christmas tree in one of those events, right? That's connection contribution celebration. I was just like, I'm stepping into flow states all the time when I get to show up fully authentically myself in this way. So that was a beautiful time of my life to, you know, at the time I felt really challenged to really realize who I was. And then eventually I started to take the courage to audit what was wrong with work and look at these real, at my values and just really have the hard talk with myself. And I was like, with my work, what do I get to, who do I get to connect to? And at the time, the people I was working with weren't my tribe. They weren't my people, you know, Touchwood. And so that didn't really feel like I was getting a lot out of that in terms of connection. Contribution, I felt a little bit because I was building high-rise towers. And so, you know, that felt like I was, you know, building people's homes. My parents were immigrants to Australia. And so I was like, you know what, maybe, you know, a lot of the people that are buying these apartments for the first time are, you know, it's immigrant affordability that sort of services them. And celebration, that there really wasn't a lot of it, you know, like get this done, move to the next job, get this done, move to the next job. So I was showing up for a half of a value, you know, out of three is the way I sort of looked at it. And I was like, something's up here, you know, this is out of alignment. This is out of alignment. And then I started actually looking at companies that did more connection, contribution, celebration, companies like Mindvalley, et cetera, et cetera. And I really got inspired by them. But then as the grace of God would have it, there was the podcast emerged. And when I ran that past my values, I was like, connection, contribution, celebration. Oh, I'll get to connect, I'll get to contribute.
Yeah.
Maybe we can design it around celebrating life a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, man, it's been a very profound, simple but profound tool to really help me stay oriented. And just lastly, I'll share, you know, like if an opportunity comes my way, like only about 3 years ago, Mindvalley was starting up a premium coaching program. And they were like, hey, we're looking for coaches. We don't really haven't fleshed out what the idea is just yet, but we want to build a program on the shoulders of like three coaches. And we're like, cool. And they're like, are you interested? And I, you know, everyone's like, yep, give me like, there's a pool of us, let's call it that, of coaches that they could pick from. And I was an immediate yes. And they're like, we haven't discussed. And everyone else was like, oh, give me some time to think about it. Rah, rah, rah. Let me know what the finer details are.
Right.
And for me, the finer details didn't mean anything, right? Now, you can call that unsavviness, but I literally just went connection, coaching, contribution, coaching, celebration. People are going to live life harder, richer, more beautifully. Okay, check. I'm in.
Done.
Let's do this.
Easy.
Right? It's an easy yes. And just how you come across when you come across that way. People are like, he's 100% in and we would love to work with someone like him, you know, and everybody else is still taking their time thinking. So it helps in every dimensions, macro scale, making like, you know, decisions about your life and auditing where you're meant to go, navigating your relationships, how you're meant to smooth it out, day-to-day decisions about which opportunities you should take, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it wasn't, didn't come to it the easy way, but cultivated the awareness over time. And it's been super profound,
Heck yeah. I love it. And we'll absolutely put that link in the show notes too for all our listeners as well, just so it's easy. Cause I think it's, I love that you said there's a tool you already have and the link and the website that's perfect for anybody, because I think it is so important, right? It's like you have to have, I mean, you have those three words that are your inner star. It, everything in your life can filter through those three things if you know that those are your top highest values. And if you, you know, audit, I love how you said you can audit parts of your life against those values. And then what you'll probably notice is you're happier in the areas that are in alignment with those values and you're unhappy with the areas that are not. And then I think the final piece you touched on that I just love is like, it's then having the courage to do something about it, right? Like it's easier to say, oh, let me look at this job and it, you know, probably pays well. It pays my bills. It's secure, but it's not in alignment with those values, right? And so you have to have courage to say, I'm going to take a step, which at first is going to be scary and I don't know the exact path, but over the long term of your life, if it starts stepping you little by little in alignment with your values, a year down the road, 5 years, 10 years, you're going to be in that sort of flow state like you imagine, because your life and your values are in alignment. I just, it's so beautifully said. So, I mean, if we continue to go in your life, you have this moment, you realize, okay, you know, construction's not it. I'm going to start this podcast. And I think an interesting part of your story, and correct me if I have this wrong, but you did 12 episodes of the podcast and all of a sudden you begin to continue to have more revelations and you quit your job and you're like, I'm going fully into this. So can you walk us through a little bit of that section of your life where, I mean, you said it earlier, you were all in. Your actions were proving that you were all in. You weren't just talking about it.
Yeah, I as Uncle Tony puts it, I burnt the boats.
Yeah, truly.
So the distillation of the awareness at the time was I was really trying to be. I was inspired by creative entrepreneurs, right? That's really what got me going, right? You can call them artistic entrepreneurs. I look at entrepreneurship as sort of, there's two veins. I've interviewed multiple people, then some people say there's three veins, some people say there's four veins. But the two veins that I was aware of at the time is there's your hardcore entrepreneurs, which are your Elon Musks of the world, right? Which is like... Everyone goes, oh, let's build a company that takes us to Mars. There is so much risk and difficulty in that. And Elon Musk looks at that and goes, I'm building a vertical trucking company. I see nothing but opportunity. You know, so where the rest of the world sees risk and you see opportunity, those people are wired slightly differently, right? So they're your pure, and I call them hardcore entrepreneurs. Other people call them pure entrepreneurs. I call people like myself a softcore entrepreneur, right? Which is, I want to live life on my own terms. It's more based around lifestyle design. It's, I want to do something meaningful to me. I want to be aligned to my direction. I want to find my direction and execute on it. And I just know that I've got one life and I want to live it richer, fuller. And impact is a big part of it, but it's also in alignment to the things that matter to me the most, right? So meaning and purpose are really impregnated in there. And so, yeah, that's the soft core entrepreneur path. And you can call that, some people call that the artistic entrepreneur. Back at the time, I was looking for, I accidentally called it the creative entrepreneur. But there were people that were speakers, authors, coaches, even yogis, people that were living life on their own terms, doing it their own way, and they're completely content. And for the life of me, I saw them as fulfilled and successful, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this down the path, but I was in the meantime just chasing success because that's what society had, you know, baked in for us. And so the interesting thing in there for me was like, okay, if these are the people that I'm inspired by, I was just doing weekly episodes with them. I was inspired to evolve, follow your inspirations. And part of me, so this is how an engineer thinks, right? I was like, I'm going to interview 200 to 300 of these people that are living life on their own terms. They're creative entrepreneurs. They're either creatives or they're entrepreneurs. And for me at the time, entrepreneurship was just, you just got creative about how you made your money, right? So it was just creatives through and through. And I was like, how do I install this in my life? I'm an engineer. I'm just going to do what China does to Germany's machines, right? So I'm just going to like pull apart in these interviews, 200, 300 entrepreneurs, and then reconstruct it at my end. And hopefully I'll have a machine that works, you know, even if it's the Chinese version and not the German version, touch wood, not to say anything bad about Chinese engineering, but German engineering is just on a whole nother level. You know, I'll be somewhat of an entrepreneur. And the thing that happened, I think it was about 12, 14 episodes in, was everybody was so unique in their path. Every individual was just so different about how they came to their journey. And subsequently, there have been some things that I've been able to like stereotype as like the ideal things for the path. But at the time, it was just really clear that your unique creative expression is unique to you. It's kind of a spiritual thing. Like, you were put here for a reason, right? You've got to live your journey and live out the myth and the story that's emerging through your life. And I could tell that I was insulated. There was in the job that I was in, right? So I was insulated from the narrative arc, the story that was waiting to be lived out through me. Now I look back and it was totally part of the story. But at the time, one of the things I realized was like, if I'm really going to learn how to step out into this path, like other people have, there's always been a moment where they've just sort of had to trust the unknown. And I have this visual in my head. It's like you walk out, you're literally in outer space and you're walking along a jetty. And then at some point you just put your foot out into the abyss of the ocean and a stone comes up to meet your next foot. And then, you know, you put the next foot down and a stone literally comes out to meet your next foot as you're stepping. But you don't know that it's coming. You've just kind of got to step and trust that the floor will arrive underneath you so you can keep trekking. I saw that as a bit of a theme in those 12, 14 episodes. And I realized that's it. Like, I don't think I'm going to get to where I'm trying to go without actually disconnecting. And this is what the podcast is inviting me to do. There's been several instances over the last 6 years actually where there's been wisdom from the podcast that I've then had to apply in my life, which has been really transformative for the journey. But yeah, that was the moment where I realized if I'm going to go down this path, this is what the podcast is asking of me, right? Is to just disconnect and let's go. And let's be honest, there's a lot of friction at that time, like I described before as well. Like, I wasn't enjoying what I was doing. It felt a lot of bitter. There wasn't a lot of sweet in it. And then the podcast was like, well, these creative people found their way, but they also, you know, jumped when it was required. When I coach people, I don't coach them to jump because it wasn't a smooth process. I generally coach people to monkey rope. And if those people that aren't familiar with what that is, it's like a Tim Ferriss metaphor, which is, you know, when you're holding one vine and you generally grab onto the next vine before you let go of the first vine. And then that's generally a much more smoother way to do things. But you do need a little push to let go to catch onto the second vine as well. More supportive for your mental health, I would say, that process. Quit and... And at the time it was really daunting. I will just say that bit because I had a podcast which was costing time and energy to produce. But there was no real certainty of where the income was going to come from.
That's awesome. So a question I would have for you is, you know, obviously now you do a lot of, right, as you mentioned, coaching. That's a huge aspect of your life. And I'm curious, sort of two questions. Like, one, how did you first sort of realize for you, like, oh, like coaching is something I want to do. And I think this is like, I want this to be part of my life. And then second, how do you think someone else kind of can know if they should have coaching or if they like are a right fit to become a coach? You know, I'm sure you work with a lot of people and they go, wow, I actually, you've been super helpful for me and I'd love to do this for other people. Right. And so like, I guess that's sort of the two questions. One, how did you discover and realize like, wow, coaching is what I want to do? And then two, how do you think other people can start to get clarity on like if that's something they would want to do with their life?
Yeah, absolutely. thanks for the question. So generally, so what happened for myself is it was a bit backwards. So I was doing the podcast and then people started reaching out of the audience about 4 months in and saying, would you coach me? And I was like, coach you? Like, on what? And they're like, just the conversations you're having, will you have them with me? And I was like, you'd get value out of that? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, right, okay, sure. And then I just quickly Googled online. It's like, how do you start coaching? I was like, yep, just, you know, do some stuff and then, you know, charge this much. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just do a call and charge for a call and here we go. And I fumbled. I fumbled around a lot. Now, I say it's a bit backwards because it's called the Inspired Evolution, right? So when I look back, some part of me deep in my bones, transformative public speakers and transformative life coaches were always the people that spoke to me the most, right? Like deep down in my heart, those are the people that inspired me the most. But there's also this whole thing where it's like they do it so well. Like you look at Tony Robbins, right? It's like you do it so well. Why would I even try? And there's all that imposter syndrome. There's all that perfectionism. There's all these fears, all these things that keep us in place that emerge. And you're like, yeah, that's, you know, I wonder what my thing is, because you're skirting around that big thing that is just so present for you. So thankfully the audience called me out and I did a few of the calls and as I did a few of these calls, they went really well. And at the time I was just as surprised as the people were that were getting the shifts on the other side. And it was an incredible process to be a part of. And I'm really grateful that the audience called me out, members of the audience, to have these conversations. So that's how I stumbled into it. And then over time started to, you know, then finally, you know, once I did a whole bunch of calls, I realized I should probably formalize some of this. I went away and got a certification, which I actually don't recommend to a lot of people to get straight out of the gate. And I'll tell you why shortly. Sorry, I should caveat that when you're starting, if you know this is for you, absolutely get a certification like I did. But when you're just starting, you don't actually need one. And then from there, just started to learn, get some business coaching around it as well, because one of the hardest things I find for coaches is you can be an amazing coach, but you are also running a business. It's like running a practice. So totally. It's like being a doctor's clinic. You might be an amazing doctor and that really helps. But if you don't set your clinic up in the right way, you don't have admin sorted, you don't have, you know, the receptionist sorted and all that sort of stuff in your marketing and even signage and stuff like that, you know, you're not going to be able to help people. Yeah. So you really got to sort all that stuff out as well. So you need a business coach at some point along the way as well. So, you know, that was my journey into coaching. The very organic, I would say, is probably the sort of synopsis of that. For people that are thinking whether they're coaches and they want to do coaching, like I said before, you know, you probably already know a little bit about it for yourself. I think there are different types of coaches as well. So me saying before the DISC profile, I was in an analytical job, but I'm, you know, the influencing, inspirational sort of DISC doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be an I and you can't be an A, like an analytical to be a coach. There are analytical coaches, there are driver coaches, there are accountability coaches, there are like caring coaches. So yeah, you can come across in those four profiles, there's a different type of coach and you just apply your methodology and your propensities for how you show up for people. But something like, you know, doing a basic, I think Myers-Briggs or something can be helpful because it gives you a bit of an idea in terms of what you may be carved out into. And like, I do have my reservations as to 7 billion people being typecasted into 16 different profiles. We're all, you know, a bit of miracle dust. You know, we are literally stardust reflecting in on itself. So I do think there are limitations to profiling systems, but they've held a lot of weight in terms of their accuracies in my experience so far. So have a look at something like that and sort of see if you are people-oriented. right?
Yeah.
And if you are people oriented, I think coaching is really for you. That's not to say that task oriented people can't be coaches, but I find the coaches that I know that really thrive, like I'm watching Tony Robbins' documentary, knowing you, Stu, yeah. knowing myself, like we're people. Yeah. touch wood. Yeah. And it's as soon as I figured that piece out, it became really, really, really instrumental to sort of go, okay, how do I architect my life around supporting people rather than supporting tasks? Now, for the one of the interesting bits, I'll just sort of dive into a little tangent there, is I'm helping people yeah. achieve tasks. And I can really give a shit about their tasks because I really yeah. give a shit about them. Yeah? yeah. But when it comes to just pure tasks on a page, I'm like, oh. It's a bit flat, doesn't have the zing, doesn't have the energy.
Doesn't
but for
you
someone else's task, because there's a person in there and I can see how much it would help their life, I'm like, ooh, let's go, let's do this, you know? yeah. So it's really interesting, not like learning those little nuances. When you're starting out as a coach, if you feel like this is for you, I know this is going to call a lot of you out and some of you are going to be triggered by this, some of you are going to be facing your fears. All you need to do is make a post on your socials, tell your friends you're doing this, and just say, hey, I'd love to just offer a complimentary coaching session on anything that you think I may be able to help you with. Yeah. In exchange, if it goes well, can I get a testimonial? Yeah. And I usually encourage my clients when they're starting out to try and get 10, and they usually land at about 5. Just push them a little bit and, you know, aim for the stars, yeah. land on the moon. And once you've done that, you have a very clear picture. Now, we can talk about what sort of people are like have the right type for coaching, what sort of, you know, makeup you should have, what sort of things you should go do, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, I find you will find out in those coaching calls whether you like doing them or not. I found this again and again and again. And the clients will go in and they'll go into the calls and like, actually, or like, I didn't really like unpacking people's stuff. It was too deep and it was too intimate. I was like, that's great. I'm so glad you've got that clarity on your direction now.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe coaching's not for you, you know, and that doesn't mean that public speaking isn't, because maybe you want to be a trainer. Maybe you're not a coach, right? Similar ballpark, but different modality altogether. But some people come back and they're like, oh my God, I was just... all I had to do was listen and I just said a couple of things and they just shifted everything and they were like so grateful at the end. And I was like, I just want to do this all the time. It's like 1 hour session felt like we talked for like days. I was like, awesome. This might be for you, right?
Yeah.
So all it takes is a simple post saying, hey, I would love to support you on your journey, you know, and you'd be surprised. People comment back and go, actually, that sounds really cool. I'd love to have a chat about X, Y, and Z. DM me. They'll DM you. You can set up a call and go from there. The structures of that, if you want to get really savvy, is set up a Calendly link if you're going to make that post. Just so that people can book in, makes it super easy. And one of the key things in there is don't forget the testimonials. Yeah, don't forget the testimonials. Testimonials are key because at the moment, coaching is an unregulated industry. Yeah, you can just step in and step out. All it takes for someone to become a coach is literally rock up to LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram and just go Amrit Sandhu and just flip the moniker from like whatever they were previously doing to just change the name to coach and you're now a coach, right? Yeah. It's literally how easy it is to become a coach. Whereas if you wanted to become an engineer, you need like 4.5 years of education, right? Law, 4.5 years of education, here in Australia at least anyway. So
yeah.
There's all these barriers to entry. Coaching has no barrier to entry, right? Now, some people go, oh, it's becoming saturated and there's a lot of charlatans and a lot of scam artists in the space. No, there's people just testing the waters, right? Which is kind of the cool thing about coaching in some ways, yeah? But trust that, you know, just like any sort of thing, the oil will separate from the water as well, right? So the good coaches will stay coaching and people that entered the field just to sort of try it out will also leave the field just to try it out, having just tried it out. So I'm not too – people often ask, should there be coaching certifications and regulations? And I do think there should be some way, but I also have no serious qualms about the way the industry is currently set up at the moment as well, because it's just people trying to help people. I think most of, like I say, 85% of the intentions are positive. So, change it up, Just go, hey, I'm willing to take the courage to, you know, put myself out there to coach people, make a post, Calendly link, get the testimonials, because the testimonials actually will be your number one marketing material once you've set up your coaching business. You set up a website, you've got five testimonials. If you did it right and you've got 10, you've got 10 testimonials. Someone looks at another coach's website, they look at yours, you've already proven that you've helped 10 people transform through the art of conversation, through the art of listening.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And now you just did 10 free calls and you've got all these assets. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I love the idea too of, just that, it's like I was always a believer of like action comes through, or clarity comes through action, not thinking.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if you think you want to be a coach or that's something you want to do in your life, like you could spend the time and the energy and the money getting a certification, going through all that, and then doing a coaching call and being like, wow, this is, I didn't really like that. Right. And it's like now you've invested all this money and energy and time. But if you just say, hey, like, who are a few people that I could coach and help, and you just try it, like you said, and like do a few for free, right? You can add value to those people's lives. And if you get off and you're like, that was horrible, like I did not like that, then you've saved yourself so much time, energy, and money, and you have so much more clarity as far as like, okay, the next, you know, direction is not coaching for me.
Stu, I'd love to just jump in there. Like so many people I know, and I know you know as well, are like getting one certification, then the next, then the next, then the next. And they're like, I'll finally be ready to coach someone eventually. Like, I'm setting myself up. I'm setting up my practice. I'm setting up myself up. And I looked at, you know, how much has happened in 6 years in Touchwood, having coached, it's over 260 people now, one-on-one intimately, like one-on-one journeys with 260 people. And it's been, you know, the most rewarding thing. And people that I started the journey with, they're still setting up their practice.
So
there
cool.
are people that are still setting up their practice and they're just running for certifications. And you're like, at what point do you call yourself out and just go, I'm going to apply myself?
Got to take action.
Yeah. So the action piece is huge, man, is huge. And exactly that piece where you got to post your post and you go, I'm putting myself out there. Nobody, that's the transformation that you need to go through. Like you're going to have to go through it after the certifications and you're going to have to go through it like now, like face that fear, walk it down now. Like, that's all I wanted
to know. Yeah. Love it. Well, Amrit, it's been a joy to pick your brain, man, and your journey. And I'm curious, you know, for all our listeners that are going, I need more of this guy in my life. I need to hang out with him. Where's the best place where they can find you, spend more time with you? I know you have a podcast as well. So where's the best place they can, spend time in your world?
Oh, Stu, this has been such a pleasure, man. I love your vibe. Thank you so much for having me here today, man. So absolutely. For those that are tuning in, guys, thank you so much for tuning in all the way through to the end. I have a podcast. The home of the podcast is actually YouTube now. I look at it as a YouTube podcast. So if you make your way to youtube.com/inspired evolution, I was inspired to evolve. And if you're inspired and you're evolving, I think YouTube, making your way across there. We now launch 2 podcasts a week. And there's a coaching insight that comes out. So there's literally a video going out every other day at the moment on YouTube, which is Touchwood. I look back at 6 years ago and I was like, I never thought I would have something like this going on. But it's a lot of fun. And one of the things in there that I'll say is when you leave comments on the videos, that's literally me still writing back to you. So I take the time to write back to every single comment. So please be nice. But, that's probably the best way to access as much information as you want. One of the key things in there, though, is, you know, a lot of you heard the values piece. But it still blows me away that people just 20 minutes from now, you could have so much clarity on your direction and who you are and what you're made for. And, you know, literally the pillars of who you are, you know, the temple that is you and the life energy, the life force that's meant to flow through, you know, just allowing that to come through with grace. Figure out your values. 20 minutes, inspiredevolution.com/values. You could be as clear as I am now in 20 minutes. And that would just be amazing. So invaluable for you. And then, if you wanted to take coaching a little bit deeper, amrit.coach is the website. Get your values. Get your values. Check out the YouTube. And then if you want to get to coaching, you'll eventually find your way there as well.
Yeah. Love it. Well, last question I have for you. We ask this to all of our guests because we believe in finding direction, but doing it through action. And I may already know your answer, but I'm going to ask just because we got to ask this question is, what would you say is one thing our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Mm, I have to say, spartevolution.com.
I think I know where this is going. Oh, man. Yeah.
I sound like such a plug. it's going to be values. It's going to be values. Yeah, it's just,
I hear you, man.
They're so fundamental to you just knowing exactly where you're going that, yeah. And I'm obviously biased towards my system and process because it's, I found it so useful for me that I just can't help but espouse that. So, because I find people that even, some people have a self-awareness practice, which can be really useful to reflect upon yourself, but some people don't have a self-awareness practice. Values work for either of those people, right? So it's pretty universal. You're not stuck by whether you need to know who you are, what you're up to prior to coming to it, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, hey, I just run myself through this exercise. I've got my values. You've just got so much more clarity. And, you know, then the transformation can ensue. And it's 20 minutes. What's holding you back?
Yeah. Love it, love it. Well, Emery, thank you again so much for being here. It's been an absolute joy, and we'll be seeing you around. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, brother. Really appreciate you and everything you're doing in the world, man. Yeah, yeah.
Heck
love
yeah.
it. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I want to say thank you, as always, for joining me on this show. I hope you got some value from that conversation with Emery, and as always, I hope you take at least one thing, even if it's just going and doing that exercise to figure out your values, but I hope you take one piece of action after listening to this episode to move your life in the forward direction. Other than that, my friend, have a beautiful, wonderful, outstanding rest of your day, and I will talk to you on the podcast soon. Take care.